I will. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tuesday Tips for parents of teens here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers. And as always, I'm ever so excited about our guests. And today, our guest is Elise Knox. And I can't wait to hear this subject because this is something that is very close to my heart. Because Elise says you can only be as connected to others as you are to yourself, right? So I am so looking forward to this, you guys. As just to welcome you, I want to say something before we start. First of all, I want to honor you for being here. And you know, I always say, at Raising Remarkable Teenagers, we want to be very intentional parents. And our aim, our goal is to raise highly effective teenagers without losing our own minds. Mm-hmm. So as we speak to our guest today, you know what? At least I'm going to allow you to introduce yourself because I am so, you know, I think if I was to go on, I would go on and on and on about you, but I want you to do yourself justice, right? So everyone, let's put our hands together and welcome Elise Knox, who is a coach, a parent and teens coach. And as I said, this value statement, it just made my heart, you know, it made me just feel so happy because it so resonates with what we believe here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers. Now, Elise, welcome to the family today.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. So introduce myself. I currently am a life and wellness coach who works with teens and parents of teens. Mm-hmm. And the journey that brought me to this is long and winding. And if I could say where it began, I would say it began when I was a teenager.
Wow.
Though of course I didn't know that at the time. I, you know, was brought up in a really supportive, positive family, and I was the youngest. And then when I was very happy and joyful little girl. And when teen years hit, like things shifted for me. And I was a little different than my brother and sister always. And I took that as like, I'm going to be as different as possible, which meant I rebelled a lot as a teenager. And I had a wonderful mother and we had a really close relationship, and it got very challenging during that time. Mm-hmm. And I would say it took, you know, like I have studied adolescence, and that really goes through age 25. Mm-hmm. And looking back at my life, I would say it took me that long to really come out of some of those things. And so around 25, I chose to go back to school to become a teacher. I became a middle school teacher. When I had my own children, I knew that I really wanted to be a mom, a stay-at-home mom for them. Teaching was so consuming for me. So I left teaching. I became a mom. I became a mom. And then during that time of staying home, I loved and loved and adored my babies. And I knew that I wanted a little bit more. So I became a yoga teacher. I became a health coach due to my own kind of autoimmune health condition. Mm-hmm. And found myself back working with teens. Nice. And parents. And so then I worked for a school for a little while, and then I got my life coaching certificate, and then really found in working at the school, working with teens, it was wonderful. And I needed, like, just working with teens didn't feel like enough. Having the support of the family is really important. So I went out on my own, and here I am today.
Oh, brilliant. And you guys, do you see why The reason I actually ask our guests to introduce themselves, to tell their story, is because of the authenticity that comes with it. It's because you bring out you, and no one can tell your story as good as you do. So I was actually, I mean, of course you've sent me that story, but when I was hearing it from you, I was having little sweat beads, right? I was having little sweat beads. I'm like, oh my God. And definitely, you and I know we have had a chat before and you sent me that. But I was thinking, you can't do someone else's story justice. And that's why, you know, hearing it from you is so powerful. And what I liked most, especially as you introduced yourself, there was, you know, most parents think, oh, because I've had a good relationship with my kids from when they were little, it's just gone automatically continue to be okay, even when they cross into this, what we call the adolescent years, which is from about age 9, 10 to about 25. But what I like to remind parents, including myself, because you all know I've got teens, right, is that our kids' brains and bodies are changing. So it is that the behavior is also going to change. They're beginning to question a lot of things that we have taught them, right? And it's important for us to know, oops, there's going to be that. But I believe the reason you and I are a parenting teens coach is because we can help parents navigate that period in a more smooth way than, first of all, to accept that there's nothing wrong I've done as a parent. This is a natural and it's an okay stage for them to go through, but how do we go through it in a smooth way so that, again, we are helping our kids become more effective, and also we are not losing our mind, because most parents totally, as you know, as their kids go downhill, they're also going downhill with them. And in that case, and that's why listening to you, Elise, this is going to be such an instrumental session, because I'm sure you're going to be talking about us looking after ourselves. How connected are we? Who are we? Because the people we are is going to really affect and affect what relationships we have with our young people. So I want to ask you, one of the questions that we ask all of our guests, whether they are parents or the parent coaches or doctors or whoever comes here, psychologists, everyone that comes here, is the idea of being intentional. Now, in your own words, remember, this is not right or wrong. We love to discuss this. We love to expand and express this word, being intentional. What would you say being an intentional parent is?
I love this question, because I think that being an intentional parent is everything. And even in the way that you asked the question, it's not right or wrong. Like, my intention and your intention, they can be a little bit different, but being an intentional parent to me means that you're looking at your actions, your reactions, how you respond. And if you make mistakes, which, believe me, we all do, you have the awareness to notice and go back and repair if you need to have conversations with your child, with your partner, and to just be like, you know, I believe that if we're not very intentional, we do the same things that our parents did, because that's the model that we saw as a parent. And so being an intentional parent means that you're choosing the path for you, because you've thought about it. And when things come up, you take time to reflect, and then you move forward based on this intention, awareness, and really consciousness of the relationship and the way that you want to be as a parent.
Wow, gosh, every time I hear these different descriptions, I am so awed by the wisdom that comes out of, you know, all of you, all of us. At least what you said and what I'm hearing from you is it's being an intentional parent is being aware. Being aware and making choices that advance you forward, not choices that keep you held back. Choices, you know, like not automatic choices that and parenting the way we were parented, but actually making choices that advance you forward, choices that make that are reflective. Yeah. So that even when we drop, because we drop the ball like a thousand times, yeah. I hope my daughter is not, I hope she doesn't bust in this room and say, yeah, mom, you drop, you how you drop the ball like a thousand and one, she'd probably say. Uh-huh. But we do drop, and I love the way you describe that, and that awareness and consciously making those choices to not, what we say here is to actually parent by design, not by default. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. So I am so amazed. And I want to ask you something else, which I believe is what possibly holds so many of us back. And this is about beliefs. Mm. And if you can share some of the beliefs, you know, some of the belief systems, some of the paradigm that keeps us held back, you know, as parents, that make us not be present, make us not be aware, make us repeat the same old stuff that did not help us. What kind of beliefs in your work have you come across?
Many. I think there's so much around like what parenting should look like. Mm-hmm. And I think especially in the teen years when, like, you know, you can kind of mold more when your kids are younger and they really don't, they're not pushing back. They don't. So if you're really caught up in the what parenting should like or what should look like or what, it's a little bit easier, but it becomes harder. And this is one of the reasons that I love supporting parents through this stage is that it's isolating because you don't really want to share what's really going on with people because it feels like it shouldn't be happening. So mm-hmm. the shoulds, you know, what parenting should look like is one. Mm-hmm. One that I
want to write that down because I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, I know what you mean, but I've not heard it said like that before. You guys know I love to write these insights, right? Right? Go on, Ellis. This is so beautiful.
Oh, I'm glad. So another big one, I have two daughters. So, and they're coming into teen years. They're not there yet. I also have a 24-year-old stepson who lived with us during his teen years. So another one that I think is that I hear a lot and is frustrating and something that I speak to like on my social media is oh, you have girls, oh, they might be easier now, but you just wait. So this idea that boys are hard when they're younger because they have so much energy, girls are easier, but once they become teenagers, like, you can't be friends with them, you can't, like, it's just going to be terrible.
Hmm. Wow. So those two, I think what you've described, the shoes, they are like a burden, right? Mm-hmm. These are expectations, you know, like expectations. And because of those expectations, and what I heard from you is that because we are expecting a different picture, and what's happening in reality is not what we're expecting, we then hide and become isolated, possibly mm-hmm. because of shame or guilt, because the picture we are expecting is not. And also what I see a lot, especially in teenage years, is, you know, when our kids are younger, like you said, rightfully said, they're probably easier to mold, right? But when they are pushing back in their teenage years, We also don't have, most parents don't have the supportive groups like we had, you know, when the kids were little, we had these mothers and toddler groups. I don't know, these, you know, these little groups that parents go to. But when, once they hit teenagers, we don't have these groups. And that's why I always encourage parents, let's gather up, you know, come to my sessions, go to Elisa's sessions, because this is the village we as parents of teenagers need. Right? Because we no longer go to the mother and toddler groups, you know, we don't go for those coffees anymore. Everyone's alone, and unfortunately we are battling these shoulds on our own, you know, and then there's the embarrassment, you know, your kid is giving you the hand, or they're giving you the eyes, and you think, I'm the only one going through this. If you don't speak with other parents, you think you're the only one. But I can tell you, in my position as an adolescent psychologist, I can tell you, even in my own home, I get those eyes, you know, I get, it's not that I like it. I don't like it. And I'll talk about it when it happens. They're constantly having this conversation. So don't think that it's just happening to you. It's not. The only time we think it's happening to us is when we don't speak to other parents. And that's why hanging out with someone like Elise, a parenting team coach, or ourselves, or someone else, just don't stay alone. So those shoes must feel like a heavy burden. Another thing I heard you say is this sort of genderizing, right? Mm-hmm. So that they're saying, The girls are easier, and then they are harder as teenagers, or the boys are harder when they're younger. I'm telling you, when it comes to teenage years, the brain and the body, it doesn't know gender. And this is what our kids are teaching us, right? Especially when they adopt this gender fluid, whatever, all those many genders that they are teaching us. That when it comes to thinking, it's just different. And I think we as parents need to stop seeing different as defiance, but then get to understand, what does it mean? Explain to me, let me know, let me understand. Because these are feelings, you know, I always say that in teenage years, they have feelings that which are strange to them. Even they don't understand what they are feeling. Now, if we are not safe enough for them to speak, then we have kids who are suffering, again, thinking, this, I'm the only one going through this. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, they're not the only one going through this. And that's why there's so much mental health problems, because you have this kid, the body, the brain is changing, and they sit there and they're thinking, this is only happening to me. Mm-hmm. And then the parent doesn't understand either what's happening. So the parent is thinking, this is only happening to my family, right? So the parent is going wild, the kid is going wild, and there's no conversations, there's no communication. And that's why I'm so excited about the community. You know, when we meet out here, and having a guest like you, Elise, to just come for us to have, you know, especially as women, and I'm not saying, I know we've got a lot of male listeners, fathers here, and uncles here, and even grandfathers here, right? So, and I'm so, so grateful that you're here to learn this. But it's very important for us to have these conversations, and actually not to generalize, and I can, you know, I mean, I want to give Elise this opportunity to chat, but I can tell you, it has nothing, these difficulties have nothing to do with being a boy or a girl. It's got nothing. And all it takes is that trying to connect. And you guys, you know, I'm going to leave you to talk about connectedness, because I want you to explain it in your own ways. But for you guys who have been in this community for any length of time, you know, we talk about connectedness and how it's so important for us to connect with our teenagers. Because what we know from research, from psychological research, is that in teenage years, that connectedness becomes a very basic need, right? It becomes a very basic need. And what does that mean? It becomes a very basic need because they want us to connect with them, right? And if they are not connected with us, that's why they become so vulnerable. They become so vulnerable. And they can be preyed on by anyone out there. And that's why our kids can get easily exploited in these teen years. But I want you to talk about the idea of first being connected with self so that we can connect with our own kids.
Yeah. So I think this is so important. And I think it's important at every stage of motherhood. And I think it's almost most important in the teen years. And I think the other part about being a parent of a teen is that you have a little bit more time. You know, like when they're little, it's physically so involved that you have, and you may be very sleep deprived because they're not sleeping at night. So you have to kind of like, you don't have as much time. When they're teens, they don't want to be with you quite as much. And so you do have a chance to start connecting with yourself. And something that comes up a lot with when I coach parents and when I coach teens through talking to the teens is that we as moms have a lot of our own wounding from our childhood, from our teen years. It could be a breakup. It could be bad choices that we made. And we come from, if we haven't taken the time to get to know those things and get to know how we're still reacting from that place, that wounded place, then when our teen presents their first boyfriend or some choices that they made that weren't really that great, we as parents go, we're reacting from like the choice that we made. Mm. And so and even for myself, who's like studied this and helps other people with it, I catch myself doing this all the time.
Obviously. And I want to say that that is true because none of us arrives and none of us has arrived, but being aware, the reason we study, the reason we are here to learn is because we are leaders. And I always say leaders are learners. So by you being here and learning this concept, you're demonstrating your skill as a leader, which you are, but you're a leader by design, not by default, right? It's not just a position just because you're a parent, right? But you're consciously choosing to learn so that you can be better. Like Maya Angelou says, I like to repeat this a lot. When we know better, we do better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what you're saying about us identifying ourselves, coming to terms with ourselves, I'm feeling it's really, really important. Carry on, Elise.
Yeah. So, and we can't be aware of that if we're not taking time to check in with ourselves. Mm. So if we're so busy and we're so like distracted and our kids come to us with something and we react and then they come with something else and we react and then we just like go to bed and then we wake up and we do it all over again, there's no time for reflection on like, oh wow, maybe I really overreacted to that, and why did I overreact to that, and why is this one behavior so triggering for me? And what does that remind me of? So like for me, it's journaling and having quiet mornings. I you know, I wake up extremely early so that I have time before my kids wake up. Mm. That's quiet and calm and peaceful, and I can check in with myself. Mm. And writing for me, like if there's a situation with one of my kids and I'm just like, wow, that didn't quite go as I had hoped, or why is this one thing continuing to really stress me out or bother me? or when I'm working with a mom, it's like, go a little bit deeper, ask yourself a few more questions. And the thing that I think is so important as a parent is repair is stronger than rupture. Mm-hmm. So yes, we make mistakes all the time. When we go back and we say, hey, whether it's in the moment or the following day when you've had time to reflect, hey, you know, I was really hungry, stressed out, tired yesterday. And I realized that I reacted in a way that it doesn't feel right. And, you know, some kids are ready for you to explain, this happened to me when I was your age. Mm. So this is really hard for me to see this with you. Mm. But I know that you're not me. Like, I think making that separation is so important and challenging as a mom.
Wow, it's so sweet. It's so sweet when you said that. And what I heard, you know, I was just listening to you and I'm thinking, a kid hearing that, they're thinking, gosh, my mom or my dad is so authentic. You know, there's that authenticity coming through. There is self-knowledge, right? And there's nothing as influential as being authentic to your kids and they know that they can trust you. You become quite credible to them when you say to them, actually, I'm seeing you through the eyes of my own heart. I shouldn't be seeing you like this. You are a totally different person from me. And it's from my wounding space. That's where I'm coming from. So the kids look at you like, wow, I like my mom, right? I like my mom, or I like my dad, right? And it's such an empowering position. And another thing I heard you say, Elise, was that saying I'm sorry. You know, most parents have it hard to say sorry to their kids, right? Mm-hmm. And again, when we are vulnerable like that to our kids, my goodness, the credibility goes really high because they can see you now. They can connect with you as a human being. They can trust you not to go wild because they have gone wrong, because they know that you too can make mistakes. So they're not afraid of making mistakes, or they're not worried, or they don't have to hide from being human, right? Because they are seeing you as a safe person as well. But when we pretend to have it all together, yet we are walking landmines, right? And what happens is, when we pretend to have it all together, all made up, and I've never made a mistake in my life, yet inside we are bleeding, we have wounds. What happens is, like you said, when they do something and it presses a button and we jump, we end up, you know, being a danger to ourselves and the kids as well. Because that's what landmines, you know, landmines are like, it all looks good at the top, but you step on it and you're in deep, deep, dire danger, right? And what I'm hearing from you is for us to look within and let's cleanse ourselves. I don't know which word to use, but it's when we reflect and see, these are my wounded places. How can I heal? These are my wounded places. How can I heal? And we are not in any way suggesting that any one of us is completely healed, because we are human, right? But that's where then it comes to, when we explode on them, we need to be ready to say, oops. Well, I was about to say I did it again, but... So we be prepared to say, oops, I have dropped the ball. I have done what I shouldn't have done. And ask them to actually forgive us, right? And again, like you said, some kids, sometimes they're ready to listen, sometimes they're not, right? And I love what you said about when you work with parents and remind them of the need to reflect and the need to separate me and my child. Gosh, this is This is so wholesome, you know? This is so, so wholesome. So I want to ask you, in terms of practical self-care activities or strategies that you share with your clients, because one of the things we believe here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers is taking action. We love great information. We love great information, and that's why we look for some of the best coaches from around the world. At least you're giving us, you're dropping some really nice gems, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things we like is practical tips.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we ask for these is so that we as parents are able to actually take action on that information, because we recognize there can be no transformation without taking action on the information, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't want to be just hearers, right? We love to be doers, because we know when we begin to do what needs to be done, that's where the changes happen. So I want you to share with us some of the strategies that we actually can, you know, like one of the things, and I would like you to talk about it. You talked about getting up early and journaling and all that. I hope you can share with us some of that. But give us some strategies that we can actually take action on, so we can get our own transformation.
Yeah. So I think one of them, like a big one for me is, and that I encourage clients to do, is like the self-reflection piece. Mm-hmm. And I actually have something that I use, and I do it for different parts of my life. I have like a rating scale that I create, which I check in each morning when I sit down with my journal, so that I can kind of have a kickoff point.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, it takes a little bit of like upfront work, because you have to think about, okay, like I have one for my physical health because I have this autoimmune condition. And then I also have one for my business. And then I have one for like my family health.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about on a scale of 1 to 5 or 1 to 10, you can choose, like a 1 being everything's going horribly. And then a 5 or a 10 being things are going great, but I actually like write down what that looks like and what that feels like. So, you know, for a 1 as a parent, it's like, I'm not connecting. I'm so distracted. I'm not present. Everything, like we're bickering, like things aren't feeling connected. And then a 5 is for family is like, I took the time to connect with my kids, with my partner. I'm also taking care of my own needs. Like I'm not just giving and giving and giving from an empty cup.
Mm-hmm.
And so then once you have those written down, you get to just each morning check in. What am I feeling this morning? Am I a 4? Am I a 5? I'm often like a 3.5 or a 4.5, somewhere in the middle. And then I can get my journal out. I put the date on the top of the journal. I put the number that I'm feeling for the different areas. And then I can like begin my journaling from there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the cool thing about this is I can also look back. So I can start to see some patterns.
Mm.
And I can also see that if I have low days, I come out of them. So another really important thing with parenting teens especially is that this is not going to last forever.
That's correct.
So there, I think more so with teens than other age groups as a parent, like there's high highs and low lows. And if you have a scale, if you have a number that you can glance, you can just flip through your journal. You don't even have to journal. If you're doing the check-ins,
yeah,
you can flip back and see like, oh yes, that at that point we were really low, but look, then we came up and then we went down and then we went up. So you can see what, like how it shifts and changes.
Wow. And also, do you know, as you explained that, I just felt the importance. Because as human beings, we direct our energies to what is important to us. Mm-hmm. And when you talked about that reflective journal and how it can help you to look forward as well as look backwards, you know, because honestly, when you're reflecting like that, you can see that you've actually come far, because sometimes we tend to beat ourselves up, you know, instead of looking, yeah, I'm not where I used to be, you know, I may not be 10 out of 10, but I'm no longer a one. So mm-hmm. we can celebrate that 3, that 4, and that's mm-hmm. what reflection helps us to actually celebrate our milestones, and it's very important, and I, correct me if I'm wrong, Elise, because I believe in celebrating our little mm-hmm. steps, because as parents, we don't do that enough. And unfortunately, if you don't get into the habit of celebrating yourself, it's very unlikely that you will celebrate your kid. Mm-hmm. Because I heard you mention about giving from an empty cup, right? If you're not a person that knows that it's okay to celebrate, that it's okay, you are enough wherever you are, you can't give that to your kid, right? You mm-hmm. can't give that to your kid. So it's important for us to, as we do this self-reflection, let's not beat ourselves about our mistakes. We can also forgive ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And as we learn to forgive ourselves, I always say, To them that much is forgiven, they are able to forgive others. And mm-hmm. you know, that this is, for example, when I work with parents, I know a person who is harsh on themselves. They are equally harsh on their kids.
Mm-hmm.
But you know someone who has come to terms with who they are, with being human. And this does not in any way say that, you know, that we have to let our kids get away with anything, with murder. That's not what this is about. This is about acknowledging that we are on a growth curve, right? And what does that mean? It's not a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to give ourselves grace. And when we are able to give ourselves grace, we are able to extend that, because we know how nice it feels, right? I mm-hmm. mean, I know how nice it feels when I lay down the burdens, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to express the same for example, my daughter, when she does things that she shouldn't do. And I say to her, I want you to reflect, but I also want you to lay down the burden. I don't want to keep beating you with a stick, you know, I mean, not physically, but sometimes yeah. you can keep beating someone, reminding them, guilt tripping mm-hmm. them, shaming them. All that is mental beating, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when we understand how nice it feels, how relieving, how gracious and graceful that is, we are able to extend to others. And that's why I like your topic of knowing and connecting in with ourselves first, because
mm-hmm.
we can't give what we haven't got.
Mm-mm.
We cannot give what we haven't got. I want you to talk a little bit more about that journaling. And one of the things you said was, we don't even have to write it. We don't even have to write down stuff. We can just write the numbers. Can you explain to that, because some parents will say, hey, I haven't got time to do that. I haven't got, you know, what is it that I can do that is quick? I mean, and by the way, I want to say here a disclaimer. We don't do quick fixes here. We don't have magic pills. Growth takes time. It's about reframing the mind. And that is not a mushroom. It's not a mushroom or a microwave process. It's not. It takes time. It takes time because we are reprogramming our habits, and it's okay. And it's okay, yeah. right? And that's why you guys are so, you know, you're so fortunate to be listening to Elise here, right? You're so fortunate to be listening to us here as we have this discussion, because I practice this with my daughter. I'm not 100% perfect. I don't think at least you are, or you would claim to be that. Say, share with us this process. And also, what another thing I heard you say is that getting up a little bit earlier than, I'd like you to share that and also encourage parents to do that, because most parents say, I haven't got the time, or, you know, that you haven't got the space, because as soon as you open your eyes, the kids are, yeah, share with us a little bit.
Yeah. So as far as the journaling and like, the opportunity to, if you have a very busy morning or a very busy day and you've done the work of figuring out what a one would be like for you and what a five would be like for you, then what I found is for myself is once I've written the number, the thoughts and the words just start coming of like, why am that number and not another number? Mm-hmm. So it's easy for me to journal from that point. And I struggled with journaling for a long time because my handwriting's not nice enough and it's not beautiful and I'm not poetic or whatever. And so this journal is like just for you. It doesn't matter what it looks like. But if you don't have time, or if you're feeling just like stuck and nothing's coming out, you've still taken the time to write the date and to check in with yourself to see, where am I at this morning? Am I a one, a two, a three, a four, or a five? And that is enough. That is enough of a check-in. If you find that you're just continually only writing numbers, that may be a time where you want to see like why, what's going on there. Maybe you could dig a little deeper there. But I think it isn't like, that is the check-in. You have checked in. And if you're being honest with yourself, you've gotten an honest answer.
Mm, wow. And I think like we said, guys, this is not an overnight or a magic. And that's why I believe at least you have programs that help people go through this process, because it's a process. I tell you what, even for example, in the morning, every morning I do a gratitude process for myself and what I do when I get up in the morning before I open my eyes, because as soon as I open my eyes, there's the partner, he wants to talk, or you know, so I make sure that my eyes are closed, and in those first 5 minutes or however many minutes they are, I'm going through my body from the top of my head. And what I do, I have a gratitude process, and I say, I'm so thankful for my scalp. It's healthy, it's beautiful. I talk about my skin, my eyes, and I'm just saying, I'm thankful. And it's the same process I do in the night, although in the night I hardly go anywhere, because by the time I'm thankful for my teeth, I'm asleep, right? So for me, it's more effective in the morning. In the morning, at least I know that I get to my toes, right? In the night, I don't know where I get to, because I start from, sometimes I have to start from my midsection or you know, where I think I left last the night before. Mm. But the process is, you know, it's a consciousness that I am grateful for my eyes. I'm grateful for my teeth. I'm grateful for my neck, for my shoulders. And I go down every, you know, my organs. I call them out by name. And by the time I'm getting to my toes, I am so excited about stepping out of that bed, because I'm feeling whole. You know, I'm feeling whole, and that process takes just 5 minutes, right? It takes 5 minutes, and it's not, and I can't say I do it every day, because sometimes I just jump out of bed because there's something I have to go, but I'll find some time in the day to do it, even if it's a toilet break. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a toilet break but it's making it so important to you. For me, that process has become so important. I can say, it's given me, I mean, I can say, because of it, I am I can say I'm completely healthy, you know, I'm completely wealthy, I'm completely, you know, I have got, and the joy, you know, the joy of knowing, gosh, this is good, right? And the good thing about that is, and this is for me, the good thing about that is when I step out, I don't have any insecurities about, because I know, I have seen it, that it's perfect in my eyes. And because of that, I also am able, when I step out, I'm able to see the partner is perfect, the daughter is perfect. When I go out there, I'm able to see all sorts of people as perfect, as good, as okay. And it's because I have filled my cup, I am able to share the same. And I know most people have heard this story. I talk about, you know, being a person that compliments, you know. Some people say, I have nothing to give. Even a smile is something to give. Even saying to someone, I love your hair. And it's something, we have so much to give. But I know I'm taking it. What I want to say, and I love what you've shared, Elise. And you guys, I want you to hound Elise and find out what programs, because I'm telling you the truth. If you can get connected with yourself, in fact, let me just say something. I think it was yesterday or the day before. Was it yesterday? I posted something on social media that was really popular. And what I said was, this is what I have found. If there is no enemy within you, no enemy without you can do you any harm. And it was such a blessing to me and to so many people. And another thing I said was, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it comes the issues of life, right? And this, I don't know, this conversation has brought me to that kind of conclusion today. And what I'd like people to do is to actually find you, Elise, because guys, I promise you, if you can get connected to yourself, there's almost nothing you cannot do or give. So Elise, where can people find you?
Yeah, so I'm on social media at Elise Knox Connection Coach on Instagram and Facebook. And then my website is EliseKnox.com. And I actually have another thing that I didn't really get into, but I love nonviolent communication. I'm not sure if you are familiar with it, but it's communication is part of connection. You know, we connect to others. And what I've found with nonviolent communication is it's all about connecting with yourself first so that you can connect with others. So I have a guide and some videos that can support people in looking at themselves and connecting with themselves first, and so that they can go out and communicate with clarity and more connection to others.
Wow, you guys, did you hear that? EliseKnox.com, that's where you'll find Elise. And also, did you say Elise Knox Connection on Facebook? Is that your social media handles?
Elise Knox Connection Coach.
Elise Knox Connection Coach.
Yes.
And that's on social media. Please, please, if you do anything or don't do anything today, please connect with Elise. Because I promise you, and you guys know I don't, first of all, I bring only credible people here, because this is what we want. We want to learn. Remember, I'm also learning. Yeah. So the people that I bring here are people who are going to add value to the community. And I'm asking you today, if you don't do anything else, please connect with Elise, because I promise you, and this is a topic we talk about a lot, is about connecting with selves. If we are whole, then we are able to give that to others, especially our families, especially our kids, right? And we know that when we connect with our kids, good stuff happens, you know, good stuff happens. Mm-hmm. When we connect with our kids, we are able to hear their dreams, their fears, their aspirations, their jokes, their everything. And when we do that, it makes our relationship stronger. And when our relationship with our kids are stronger, that means they're less likely to be vulnerable out there. When someone says to them something, they're like, excuse me, I don't think so, right? Mm-hmm. When someone says to them, try this, they're like, excuse me, I don't think so. This is what I know to be the truth. This is what I know to be me. This is who I know to be me. Mm-hmm. And they're not easily lured. So I'm so, so grateful, Elise, for today. And guys, once again, please connect with Elise on EliseKnox.com. And also, there is Elise Knox Connection Coach, right? Please. And let me know, once you've connected, let me know that you did that so that we can be accountable to each other and you know, just share the loving. So I am so, so excited, Elise. Have you got any sort of last minute, you know, like takeaways, you know, that you would share with the community before we finish?
I think just coming back to like self-forgiveness and self-love and like the whole purpose of this parenting life gig that we're on is loving our children unconditionally and being connected to them and being connected to ourselves. And we can get really caught up in all of the things and the shoulds and what we did wrong and all of the things, but like at the base of it, it's you love your kid, you want the best for them, and they're not you, and you have to let them have their journey. And so connecting back to love and connection is like kind of everything.
Wow, thank you so much, you guys. You had that. Connection is everything, and it's true. I will say connection is everything. So seek out EliseKnox.com and carry on that conversation with her. And from all of us here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers, where we help parents to raise highly effective teenagers without losing their minds, we're gonna say bye today until we meet in our next session. And oh, you guys, oh, anyway, I'm not gonna say this. Should I say this on here? You're aware of our new book, my new book coming up. It's called Smuggled, right? And obviously you can find it at raisingremarkableteenagers.com/smuggled. And in that book, we're going to be talking about, you know, like serious teen social issues, right? Mm-hmm. And once again, connection is over there. But we're going to be dealing with what really causes teenagers to be exploited, to be trafficked and abused, all that, right? But this is a little bit away from this session. I don't even know why I mentioned it. Maybe it's because I'm so excited. Someone's waving more. Talk about this. But go to raisingremarkableteenagers.com, and if you want to discuss those issues with your teenager, please do. But remember, it all starts with connections, and that's what we are here to talk about and encourage parents to have greater connections with their teenagers. Now, thank you so much, Elise, for the love, for sharing with us, you know, gracefully and so, you know, so much information. And we look forward to seeing you next time, because I don't think we are quite finished, you know. I feel there's so much wanting to come, but obviously we've only got so much time. And again, I'm so, so grateful for being here with us. And again, I'm gonna say bye for now, and until our next session, from all of us here at on choose the tips for parents of teens here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers. We're going to say ciao, ciao for now.
Bye. Thank you for having me.